This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Joy 94.9, you're listening to Saturday Magazine. This is the second hour of Saturday Magazine, and we're going with one of our, well, it's a new segment, really, Jeff.
Oh,
isn't
it's
it?
A very new segment, and Carol. It's so new, Jeff, that I'm just lost.
Just
here.
Jeff's having a bit of a day of it today. Apart from the fact that your chair collapsed during one of our interviews, and fortunately our interviewee managed to keep it together while you were almost under the table.
And I went totally down to the floor. And I've just played Buddy Holly's Heartbeat. I don't know why, because that wasn't the CD cover that I've got here, and I've obviously put a CD in the wrong cover somewhere. That was Buddy Holly and Heartbeat.
So we want to introduce three guests, and these three people are going to consist of our panel on Saturday Magazine, which we're going to present to you about once a month, where we look at a topic and have a little bit of discussion. And we invite you to be part of that discussion too. If you'd like to be part of the discussion today, you can email onair@joy.org.au or you can text 0427JOY949. Now, first of all, we've got on the phone line from Sydney, Alina Muhammad Ali. Alina, are you there?
Good morning. Yes,
how,
I am.
How are you going?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day here, nice and sunny, and they don't seem to have the water problems that we've got. The grass is pretty green. So
it's a beautiful day down here too. It's raining.
Oh, well, that is a beautiful
it
day.
Is.
Oh,
it is. We like it. We've also got Ariane Lack. Welcome, Ariane.
Thanks, Carol. How are you?
We're all good here. And Kenton Miller.
Glad to be back.
Yes.
The man whore. Haven't spoken to you on air for a long time, Kenton Miller.
Can I just say he's reading my T-shirt there?
I am reading his T-shirt, yes. That's not his reputation that I'm referring to.
Next week.
We should have a whole discussion on the concept of a man whore.
Yeah?
We probably should.
That's good.
But perhaps not today. Now, look, before we get to our topic today, and today we're going to be talking about the GLBTIQ and whatever other letters you'd like to stick in there, community, and do we really need this special community? But before we do that, Alina, would you like to give us a really quick sort of bio about, you know, what you've been doing within the community and who you are?
Oh, I like the way you said really quick.
Yeah, just a quick one.
And I limited it to the last, to the most recent events, let's say. Well, currently I'm quite involved with the Australian Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Queer, so again, all the letters of the alphabet, yep, Multicultural Council. So it's a peak body based in Victoria for different groups that identify as one of those letters and also have that multicultural or ethnic component. And so I've been involved with them for a while, and they're quite busy, and within that group, excuse me, I'm also involved, or separately from that group, with the Queer Muslims in Australia Yahoo group. So that's probably the shortest.
Yeah, and you've been involved with VGLRL, Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, and all sorts of things, haven't you?
I sit on the Ministerial Advisory Committee on GLBTI Health. But I don't really want to go into all
No, that's
that.
Fine. No, look, that's fine. I think you're credentialed up well enough now.
Thank you.
It's all right.
I didn't know we had to be credentialed. Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. So can we maybe we have a quick rundown on Ariane as well? We'll do ladies first. We'll be really sexist, shall we?
Carol's going to grill you, Ariane. If you don't get this right, she's going to grill you.
Yeah, that's right.
So sell yourself to us. Yeah. Sell yourself.
Blood test, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm Ariane. I'm a psychologist. I've been working for about 15 years and been working in private practice in Brunswick for about 3 years. Member of the GLBTIQ blah blah community, and have been involved in various things in the community on local levels. I was living in Shepparton for about 5 years, so was doing involved in community up there, and been overseas, and done some stuff in England and work, and also getting involved in the community over there, and been back in Australia for about 9 years. Oh. And so I'm here and have really enjoyed being invited on to Saturday Mag and talking about respective issues when my skills and opinion is it might be of use.
That sounds great. And finally, but last but not least, of course, Kenton Miller.
Which bit do you want?
Yes. Well,
I mean, let's just do a randomizer, shall we?
So let's do that.
Once upon a time, a millennia ago, I used to be the cartoonist for a national gay magazine that came out of Melbourne called Outrage.
Yep.
Different times, I worked for different AIDS councils around the country in HIV/AIDS.
In fact, I first met you in South Australia when you were working with AXA.
Oh, yeah.
In about 1990 or something like that.
And back then I was the media spokesperson for Lesbian and Gay Community Action, and I always put my L's before my G's when I do the ligabyte sort of thing. And we'll even have a debate later about what we really think about that Q letter that snuck on the end there.
Hey, I'm a Q, so definitely want to have that.
Oh, it's going to be a fight, Carol. This is what we want.
She can't wait.
That's what it's all about.
And I guess I'd also like to lay the creds on the table about being a sort of gay grandfather as well. That really makes me old. Okay.
Thank you, Kenton. Thank you. All right. So, look, I guess the topic that we've chosen for today is all to do with GLBTIQ. You know, why have we got it there? Why do we need it there? And I mean, I think it's interesting that we've just been through a whole lot of different types of festivals. We've still got another one coming up. We've had Midsummer, we've had Mardi Gras, we've had Chill Out. Queer Film Festival's about to happen. We have all this stuff which is purportedly for and by our community. Has it served its purpose?
And can we read one email that we've had just before you start, just to put a bit more context into it? Going to Copenhagen in July and told there is not much gay scene there because everything is so integrated and accepted. Something to aim for? ? Who'd like to hit it off? Who has the strongest opinion of the three of you?
All right, I'll start.
Okay, go for it, Ariane.
Well, I guess I've got some personal experience of community and also my professional experience of it. I certainly know that 15 years ago when I was going through the coming out process, I was living in a very sort of straight community and surrounded by... In fact, I don't think I ever knew anyone who was gay or lesbian growing up.
Mm.
And so when I was starting to go through the process of coming out at uni, it was so vital for me to be able to tap into a community that was that I could identify with, that was dealing with some of the similar issues that I was going through at the time. And, it was a safe haven. It was frightening as well at the same time, and but it was really important because there was nowhere else in my life where I could talk about these issues of, you know, how I was feeling, what my fears were, what my excitement was, and you know, I remember for a long time, my community for a long time was sitting at Three Faces, as it was known then, so it's showing my age, the market, and just watching and being a bit like a sponge, watching everything that was going on, going, where do I fit in all of this? Debating on whether I cut my hair. It's a big dilemma.
Even that thing, whether I cut my hair is...
Mm.
You know, I've conformed all my life to some expectation. Do I conform again to the new one?
That's right.
As I see it.
That's right. And it was you know, struggling with that identity and having a community that I could identify with enabled me to do that in a safe place.
Mm.
Certainly, you know, when I was living in Shepparton and the work that I've done, it's what I find professionally is that, I mean, we're social beings. It's such an important part of our lives to connect emotionally with other people, and you know, being socially isolated is not particularly good for our mental health. And it can be quite damaging, particularly if we're struggling. And so I see that you know, our community provides a safe harbour and sometimes a lifeline for some people.
Ali, do you sort of have similar opinions?
I definitely think that there's still a need for a community. I mean, I thought of two points I just wanted to bring up. The first one was me being the newest arrival in Melbourne, only four years now. When I lived in Sydney, and this was the case maybe 5-6 years ago, and I probably think it's the case now, that post Mardi Gras, because the city is so behind Mardi Gras as well, I mean, you've got that entire area becomes so queer. You've got so many straights, you know, at Mardi Gras. It becomes such a party festival for everyone. There is an almost blending for that short period of time in which, in a way, it doesn't really matter as such. Like, people are just celebrating everything and anything, whatever they might be doing. But the downside is, following the end of it and the party and all that, you find that there are quite a few people within our community who go through depression and actually call the switchboard a lot more, the counselling service, than perhaps they would have beforehand, because of that stark contrast between suddenly everything is a wonderful place, we're all accepted, we get along with everyone, or we don't care about anything or everyone, we celebrate difference and diversity, all that. But then when that ends, and I don't in that when the public spectacle ends, then people almost come crashing down and say, well, the real world isn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think there's also a possibility that some of those people have been swimming in community for a few days or weeks around Mardi Gras, but actually don't feel a part of community? That there's a certain currency whereby you can feel connected to community, but that connection can go away or be denied you if you don't fit in with certain aspects of the community as well?
I think that's probably that's another point, I think, because I agree that there are a lot of people even within our community who are within our community purely because of who they choose to sleep with, so, or who they are sleeping with. And they're not necessarily going to be the ones who go, yes, I'm a part of the gay community, because the gay community, and I use that word deliberately, is what the media shows off as the, you know, constantly partying, constantly shagging anything that moves, you know, and then maybe they're not part of that. So I think that's probably another problem within the community of communities. And I think the multiplicity of all of this is that it's really, really hard to unpack that. Because where do you start or where do you stop? Like, I hate the idea of not having a Mardi Gras, but I'm so bored with it, I don't bother going to it anymore.
Yeah.
So, oh, you pleasant old hag.
Yeah.
Can I just quickly say that for me, it's impossible to separate community from identity. Our identities are the things that we feel beaten up over when we're younger, potentially, and the community is the antidote to that. It gives us potentially, has the potential for a sense of connection.
Can I also suggest, though, that even the idea of identity and community is broader? Like, if, say, I identify as a gay man, I don't necessarily identify with aspects of the gay community that some others might, and we all identify with different aspects of the community. So is there, like, I'm wondering whether your question before, Kenton was hinting at this, and Elena, whether what your answer, it was suggesting that even within the so-called GLBTIQ community, people can feel left out, people can feel just as not part of that community as before they came out. Because of what happens within that community. So.
Or worse. Because if this
that's
is
right.
our saving grace and yes. we don't belong here, then where the hell do we belong?
Well, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, that was one of the driving forces for the Multicultural Queer Council, that you had, you know, Greek gay men feeling, or Asian gay men feeling fetishized. That's a word, isn't it? Fetish.
Mm. Yes, it is.
It's a new word for me.
But basically, they needed or they wanted a space where it wasn't just about sex. It was about meeting people. It was similar interests. It wasn't just turned, you know, just put down to the lowest common denominator. And for a very long time, people have struggled within, you know, trying to work out dual identities as to where they fit within this broader community. And I'm sure there are people even in the dominant gay community who, of course, still don't feel that they're part of the dominant community. But can I just complicate this further by adding on something I just thought of then? That at I went to Daylesford for the first time to chill out recently, and I must say I was knocking it. I was being quite ageist, even though I'm 32, and I was being quite nasty about the country queers. But I was
before you went, or when you were there?
No, before I went.
Yeah, okay.
Before I went. and I was being, I must say, I was being quite Sydney, I'm embarrassed to say, but I had a wonderful time, such a good atmosphere, such a, it felt just perfectly normal, natural, safe, all of those words.
Yeah.
And I decided to fill out one of those questionnaires that some university was doing. And I was reading through the questions, and it had this whole section on how do you feel within the queer community. So I'm like, yeah, 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 fine. And then when it said, well, how do you feel within the non-queer community? And I stopped and had to start and think and think and think, because I'm one of those people who works in the community sector. I've done that, you know, I've been a community lawyer all my life and never really had an issue. But then when I started answering all these questions, I started getting struggling a bit with things like my identity within the straight world and how do I feel with straights, and and how, and I know straight's such a loaded term, but I'm going to just use it because it's easier than saying dominant community each time. But how do I intersect my sexual orientation or my gender identity with the, you know, with straight world, and do I fit in and do I not fit in? And I actually found those questions harder than the questions about where I am in the queer community.
We're speaking on Saturday Magazine with Alina Muhammad Ali, Ariane Lack and Kenton Miller about, do we still need a GLBTIQ community? Is it actually important in this day and age? And we'll continue then in just a minute.
Wilkinson, that was for you, Dusty Springfield.
How very kind.
Of course, who else would it have been? You don't have to say you love me. Saturday
but
Magazine.
I will. I love you, Jeff.
Thank you, Carol. I thought you might say that. Joy 94.9 Saturday Magazine. You're being hosted by Carol Wilkinson and Jeff Hood.
And our guests in the studio are Ariane Lack and Kenton Miller, and on the phone in Sydney, Alina Muhammad Ali. And we're talking today about the GLBTIQ community. Is it actually important in this day and age? Do we really still need it? And look, I'm inclined to pose the question to you. Well, okay, we've had a bit of discussion about the pros and, you know, the value of the community and so on. But I mean, are there any? Is there a downside? I mean, what are the negatives, Kenton? What do you reckon? Are there any negatives to having these kind of small communities?
Well, I mentioned before about community currency, and it's a phrase I've thrown around a couple of times because I think that for boys, and I'd be fascinated to hear what the other version might be for some of the women's in the studio, is that. You get measured very much how central you are to the gay community, how good looking you are, the clothes that you've got, the money that you've got, access to drugs, how well hung you are, what access to gossip you've got, a whole range of features.
So for me, it's very easy to just slot in around, having all of those things going my way.
And whether or not you're Anglo, it just, there's so many things at work. If I was a fat Asian young boy who had femme aspects to my personality, I would feel utterly rejected, whether it's the virtual community or out in the community itself.
Yeah.
And it would be quite hard not to be bitter. Do you think that currency happens at all within the lesbian community?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
What would some of the currencies be?
Short hair. Whether you've slept with a bloke or not. Because if you have, then you're not a real lesbian.
Yeah, what a mate of mine used
Which
to
is
call
a real...
Sorry, I just fell off my chair.
Well, I mean, I'm generalising. This was my experience when I was coming out. So, you know, and this, well, that was two strikes for me because... I had long hair. I did eventually cut it off, but you know, and I think it's the pressure is different in the from the lesbian community. My sense is,
what sense different do you think?
Well, I don't think my experience is that it's not as superficial. and the need to be, you know, well hung and, you know, dressed, you know, have an Armani suit and or whatever it is, and have
so
lots of access
well
to gossip.
Being well hung as a lesbian.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess the equivalent is, you know, at some level of sexual prowess. I mean, there are pockets of that. I don't know, Carol,
Alina, what do you reckon, Alina?
What do you think?
I'm trying to be quiet on this one.
You want to talk about...
I'm going to speak as a queer woman who was never involved with a women's group and stayed far away from what I said was scary rad femmes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I'm ended up now very much married to an ex-rad femme, so, you know, there goes fate. But look, for me, I found that the queer community, because it was very much for women, was very much about dressing right, looking right, having lots of sex, very much in ways doing a lot what boys were doing within the gay community and being very much comfortable with that world. Like, I wasn't in the book club and the more we'll accept you for your mind world. I was in the almost equivalent of the, you know, the gay boy male world, and there were tons of women like me out there then, and I find that the younger generation's very much like that as well. That it is a kind of, well, we are going to make it more about how you look, and we're not going to just go, well, there's hardly anyone coming out, so therefore we might just, for want of a better word, settle for you. We've got so much choice now, so we are going to be tougher on what we want and probably, you know, miss out on the long run as well. So I think, I mean, the short hair thing's definitely relevant to me because I did cut my hair, but I've always had short hair. And I do actually find it almost confronting when I'm out at a queer bar and I see, you know, straight-looking women, you know, practically having sex on the dance floor. I'm just, my brain suddenly goes, wait a minute. You know, we're not straight boys. You're not meant to be doing this for us. Like, and it doesn't do it for me as well to see straight-looking women.
So, Alina, what you're saying, what everybody seems to be saying is that some of the negative things about the community are the stereotyping things.
Absolutely. Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm guilty of doing it as well. I see a woman that I think is straight kiss another woman, and I go, wait a minute, are you, you know, what's going on here?
So do you think that lesbian women who choose not to have babies, are they going to be ostracised in the near future?
Well, that's a really good one. You know, I was the one, when I was queer office at uni, I was yelling about straights being breeders, and I'm in that, world now, so, it is. I think things are changing so much, and that's the thing about a community. You can't just pack us into one time. I mean, I get angry now. I'm like I said earlier, I'm 32, so I'm not that old, I'm not that young. But I get angry when I hear 18-year-olds who have, or 16-year-old twinks, or, you know, young girls who've got no idea of, you know, HIV/AIDS. You know, they think it's this thing that happened to old grandpas in the 80s. And I get angry when I hear people who've got no concept of how you couldn't even walk down the street holding hands with your, you know, with someone of the same sex 18 years ago. And I get really upset about that stuff. But people... Yeah.
But don't you think that that's a sign of just how far we've progressed in integrating into the rest of the community? Well, that there is that sort of...
It's also a sign that our community isn't really documenting history or isn't really giving the younger generation or the newer community, the new community has no interest in learning about the older community.
Is that a GLBTIQ thing or is that a general community issue? Like, do you think that, say, you know, a lot of kids at uni in their late teens and early 20s are au fait with general history? More like recent history. I'm talking 70s, 80s kind of history.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But when you're already in a disadvantage, or when you're in a minority group, it's really important to know the lessons of what's happened.
Yeah.
Before.
I agree with that very much.
Any of the groups.
As an old grandpa from the 80s, Alina.
And he is a grandpa.
But seriously, I've just realised I'm older than AIDS. That when I was first coming out, one of the confronting things to me was going to a venue and meeting an older gentleman who said to me that he no longer enjoyed, or he felt community had disappeared because we were no longer illegal. For him, he said, he really missed walking into a bar and knowing that there was an instant connection with everyone else in there because you shared that secret and you had to trust everyone in there with your secret.
So like being a member of a secret society almost.
Absolutely. And the assimilation, I'd say the challenge around community these days, I've watched it over the years where it was a really important thing around HIV/AIDS, people within community cared for each other. At a certain point, a lot of women turned around and said, we're over-caring for you. Would you really care for us if we suddenly got struck down with a female-related cancer? And I saw a little bit of dissipation in the community. And a bit after that, with HIV/AIDS education, a lot of it was based around whether or not people were community-attached. And the community-attached stuff or not was just about where you got the message out, or if you created a safe-sex culture that depended on community. Mm. So community was, as one of my bosses used to say, a necessary fiction. Mm. It was something we made up as a way to work with people.
So in terms of the downside of community or the GLBTI community specifically, it sounds as though all of you are kind of agreeing that there's this negativity based around stereotypes. And is that the only thing that's a downside to having a GLBTI community, do you think?
Well, I reckon, personally speaking, and Alina may want to challenge this a little, as we move into a time when we're very comfortable talking about virtual community and everything, I see lots of people who have rejected the concept of gay community because the association with gay now is wealthy middle-class men who like to shop for a style and buy boys' magazines where they're all shaved or clipped or smooth or whatever. But I see queer as being this sort of postmodernist intrusion that's leaked away a sense of community attachment because it just includes everybody now. You know, so where is the sense of connection I feel with these people who suddenly, as you're saying, Alina, come over all queer when it's Mardi Gras and it washes off afterwards in the strong Sydney rain?
Well, Alina?
What about the fact that we still need laws that have to protect us from being discriminated against? I mean, does that not create a sense of community somewhat, the fact that we are actually specifically mentioned in anti-discrimination legislation? Now, if we weren't, then we could probably argue, well, we have become so mainstream that you don't even need to have legal protection for people of different sexual orientation or gender identities.
Provided we weren't being discriminated against, yes.
Well, but this is the point that, you know, we wouldn't be a protected attribute, or we wouldn't be able to say that we're a minority and we need protection for all of this. So that, I think, in itself, for the last few years, because of this whole push towards putting things in a human rights discourse and framing our struggle in that language, you know, for the X amount of last... For gazillion years, we now really do have that sense of, well, or we've always had that sense of, this is my community because I'm discriminated against.
So when you say your community, though, do you think of gay boys as well as women?
Oh, look, I was never in separatist world, so it's always been a shock to me whenever I talk to either men or women who believe that the struggles are similar yet very, very different.
So what you're saying, Alina, is that if we're being discriminated against, and partly we're being discriminated against by laws actually discriminate against us apart from individuals, then we are all in the same boat.
Well, I'm saying that if you are treated less favourably because of your sexual orientation or your gender identity, then yes, then that does create a community of people that because they need that protection because the law's failing them, so that they've created laws to protect them, then that creates our community. So you could say that's an artificial community, but I would say that that's another way where we band together. And that's kind of similar to your, Kenton, your illegal ideology, or that comment that you made about we're not illegal anymore. Well, we're not illegal anymore, but we're still experiencing
That's very true. On Saturday Magazine, we're talking to Alina Muhammad Ali, Ariane Lack and Kenton Miller about the GLBTI community.
Can I ask the three of you a very big question? What is community? How do you define it? What does the word mean? Like any community?
Oh, thanks, Kenton.
Ariane, Kenton pointed at you.
Like, we have an email from someone who says, having seen our community at Pride March, Chill Out and Fair Day, I think you're talking about the commercial scene, not the community. So I said the question, well, what are we talking about? When we talk about a community, be it GLBTIQ or the, you know, Sudanese migrant community, what does that mean?
I think that's really interesting because I was just thinking before that something that... that was said, we engage in community in different ways and different parts of our journey. And so the community means different things to different people at different times. And, you know, one of the things that I think is amorphous about a community is our community tends to expand and contract at times to accommodate the different needs of different subgroups within our community at times. But there tends to be this one overriding stereotypical, you know, community that that is the juggernaut where everything else sort of gets attached to on the sides. I'd be really disappointed if our construction of community was purely about a commercially orientated, you know, festival type
of
thing.
Can I ask you, and this, the others might want to give their definitions as well, but I'm just thinking of
like the emotional content of community. Like people have talked with the bushfires recently that there's been a greater building of a sense of community. Like these communities already existed as residential communities, but there's been a greater sense of community. And I suspect that means a greater sense of emotional connection and bonding. What's the place of emotionality in community, do you think? And an emotional attachment.
Ellie, do you...
Yeah, well, look, for me, I mean, the bushfire, I think, is a great example because you get this concept of community because all these similar people, let's say, are affected by the same thing, whether directly or indirectly. And that's where, I mean, when I think GLBTI community, or GLBTIQ community, and as I said before, to me, it's just people who, you know, love people who, or sleep with people who aren't within the what the straight world would like to define it as. And I'd probably put the laws back into it too, so I live within that framework, and say to me, that's the community. It's LGBTIQ because we love same sex or same gender or whatever, and therefore that's what's the commonality and that's what connects us. Now, that in itself, as we know, is a farce because you have trans people going, well, I'm only a part of this community because...
No one else will have me.
Exactly. And you go to other states and they won't even have intersex in their, you know, in their world because they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, that's a Victorian thing. So, you know, I completely... And then, of course, you've got the issues, and I think Kenton mentioned this, of if you've got, you know, white middle-aged men or whatever men who are sleeping with men who won't identify, but their behaviours are such that they would be fitting into our community, but they wouldn't identify as part of our community. So it's impossible to actually structure it, and I think for most people within the community, you do end up doing what's the public face of the community, which unfortunately ends up being the commercial thing. It ends up being festivals and magazines and, you know, Queer Eye programs and things like that, and people think that's the community. But obviously it's a lot more than that.
Well, for me, it's a lot around social connectedness. And I was flashing on a study a few years back that I think Jeffrey Grierson did from Arches at La Trobe, where he... And we turned it into a game with a coming-out program for men. We had a big circle on the floor and said, there's community, and we gave them cards with different identities.
Sorry, Kenton, you're cutting out a little bit.
Sorry. What fascinated me is that people would place the... young straight woman who went out with her gay friends every weekend to a commercial venue as being very central to the community, but the man who had sex with men but only did so at a sex venue as not part of the community. So community isn't just about who we do the do with, it's who we have that sense of social connectedness with, who defines us, who we relate to. Years ago, I've got a couple of brothers and they're religious in different ways, and one of them is a Jehovah's Witness, which I highly recommend because they don't come to birthdays or Christmas. that's, of course, only my opinion, not that of Joy Radio. He went to a convention over in Sydney and said how wonderful it was because he walked around, you saw everyone with badges, and wherever you were, you had a sense of everyone being a witness. And I said, that's the exact stadium we had the Gay Olympics in. And that's exactly what all my friends said, that feeling of being bolstered because we could see ourselves in others. And the bushfires is a really fascinating example because I've also heard people complain, why did Australians find it so easy to be generous there?
I'm one of those people.
Where they wouldn't with a Middle Eastern earthquake.
Well, I'm actually, I work in housing, I'm a tenancy lawyer, and it's frustrated me that we've got over 101,000 homeless people in this country, but yet we're going completely ballistic over one tragedy that's happened in Victoria, and granted, not from Melbourne, but going, well, there's something horrible happening in Queensland as well, but we're so state-centric that we...
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.